Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. On a telephone today, hopefully that'll be corrected in the next day or two. Today, we're going to talk about the latest on health and healing, and for all the new listeners, and we have a lot of new listeners, we like to be considered a voice of record, which means that we're looking for the finest studies from peer-reviewed literature done at prestigious institutions so that you can have some confidence that these are not just old wives' tales or opinions, very subjective. There's a lot of good evidence that we could be living longer lives, so we're sharing the state of the art. In fact, I always make sure that what I'm sharing is not being shared in the mainstream media. It hasn't gone through those filters. Also today, I will be doing a commentary on why we should be looking to become independent. Walking away, yes, but that's not enough. That merely puts you into a void. It separates you from the things you once believed in, even if those things were incorrect or not appropriate. So what do you do? Well, we're going to give you some advice. Share some insights. Also, commentary from Chris Hedges, America the Failed State from Truthdig. I'm going to share some audio clips today, including a lot on the environment. I'm setting aside today mainly for the environment. One is on climate science, what you need to know. Another is this movement in California, where else, ditching veganism to raise grass-fed beef for the environment. Hey, that's a great idea. We don't need to be vegans. We need just to have cows that are eating healthier grass. Makes all that. I can't see a single problem with that. Let's just move on. Nothing to see there. Well, maybe a little something to see. I'll tell you what that little is. Also, some Americans are ignorant and proud of it. At what temperature does water boil? You should know that. Most people do. Most people don't. And also, we're going to have another short clip, only 3 minutes. We're being inundated with these clips. My walk-away story. And we played some yesterday. We're playing one more today. And then what I want to suggest to those who are walking away, so they don't walk out the liberal Democratic door and walk into the conservative Republican door, that's a mistake. And the young gentleman who is helping lead this movement is the current face of it. Some of the things that these people are saying make sense, some do not. Some I just believe are due to, well, they're young and they're just not very smart. I mean, that's, want to be completely honest about it. You know, there's something that comes with age when you've aged with the intent of learning as much as you can throughout that life cycle. I don't blame people for not knowing all the nuances and all the different trajectories that exist in the political movement. But the programs he's appearing on now are all conservative programs. So, of course, they're going to be cheerleading for, you know, walk away from the liberals. But just make sure you don't walk into the other door, because you're going to be no better off. You'll be just as disappointed, just as delusioned in time. A better way of doing it. We're going to show that. So that's our program today. It is packed. Let's begin. There is a university, Rovira, in Spain, that did a study on nuts, all types of nuts, and they found that it's really good. And this was a randomized study on helping men with their virility. So, here's the takeaway message. If you intend to have a child, and you want to be as healthy as possible, both the man and woman should go through a period of detoxification and rejuvenation, not just physically, but also emotionally. Get yourself into something that allows you to feel really good each day, some positive mindset, yoga, meditation, cleansing, vegan diet, because what's happening, you're then creating a new and dominant epigenetic molecular memory. You're also, if you have a lot of nuts in the diet, you're creating healthier sperm as well. And people may think that's not important until you realize how many miscarriages there are, about one in three pregnancies. And this is devastating to the parents, to be. And if it were just something as simple as cleaning up your diet, and frequently it's just that simple. And also not wearing your cell phone down around your pelvic area. That is not good. That can have serious problems for men and women. So always keep your cell phone away from your body. We're not going to give up phones in our society, so at least do the right thing. And that is use these speakers or use the antenna. And there's a hollow Bluetooth antenna that when you use it, put it in your ear, you can set the phone about 3 feet away. As long as the phone's 3 feet away from your body, it's not reading on you. And that way you can still stay healthy and enjoy the content of your conversations. Also, this is a separate study. This is the University of California in Los Angeles. People who consume walnuts can cut their risk of developing type 2 diabetes by almost 50%. That's tremendous from one item. And you're not talking about a lot, only 1.5 tablespoons per day. But if you doubled it, if you ate 3 tablespoons, that was associated with a 47% decline of lowering the prevalence of type 2 diabetes. So the amount of walnuts you take is important. And they're suggesting 28 grams or 4 tablespoons of walnuts. Okay. And this was published in the journal Diabetes Metabolism Research. Now, you don't have to actually eat the walnuts. You can get what a lot of people do, which is very healthy and delicious, walnut butter, as you can almond butter, pistachio butter, pecan butter, macadamia butter. These are merely nuts that have been pulverized. That's all that's happened. Because a lot of people, because of diverticulitis, ileitis, Crohn's disease, they can't take a lot of fiber in the intestine, especially nut fiber. So this smooths it out. So it's very easy for the body to utilize this. So walnuts lower your risk of diabetes. From the University of Tokyo, published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Neurology, the level of coenzyme Q10 in your body is directly linked to neurodegenerative diseases, which means there's an inverse relationship, which means that people with coenzyme Q10 will have less inflammation, greater health of the brain, less atrophying, and therefore less neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. So that's good news. I suggest starting at 100 milligrams. Now, that's if you're a healthy person, even a young person. But if you had multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, then I would start you. Well, I can't tell you what I'd start you because everybody hears something different. They filter what I say. But if you have a nutritionist, a physician, a nurse practitioner, if they call my office, I will give them my protocol to help you. I just don't want to randomly say because then someone, oh, you said everybody could take. No, it's, and trust me, this happens every day. But I'll simply say you need more than 100 milligrams. The therapeutic dose where you really see the benefit is much higher. But that should be done under a licensed clinician's protocol where they're administering it. So that way you get to see it. Just like the old Tri-State Healing Center, which thousands of you came to. Remember many of you came down to 84th Street and Riverside Drive in that brownstone? Well, I lived on the top 2 floors and the whole space was 5,000 square feet. I'd moved out of my apartment where I'd lived over it on 200 West 86th Street for 20 years. Had a beautiful old apartment there. But I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to see what would happen if we gave only holistic protocols. If people wanted their traditional protocols, they could see their traditional doctor. And so I interviewed for almost 6 months physicians. And I wanted to find the physician who was smart, who was board certified, knew their business, but also was willing to give 100% effort towards an alternative or complementary, non-toxic way of approaching disease. And who was humane, who didn't just look at this as, you know, a big paycheck. And I found that physician, and for many years, a lot of people were healed there, and then it outgrew itself, so we had to move, and went down to 72nd and Broadway. And there we had a whole team, 9 physicians, holistic nurse, Elmar Gadol, a chiropractor, acupuncturist, colonic therapist, massage therapist. We had a lot of different people working. And we healed thousands of people, thousands. Never, and our door was always open. I invited anyone involved in healing or scientists, come by and see what we do. See if this makes sense to you. See if you can learn anything. And then take it home and apply it in your own office. And we had a lot of people come. That was just something I was thinking about just now when I, a little off topic there. But when people came in, and this is a good example of that. There were 2 people came in one day. One I knew because he had been my editor in chief. Wonderful human being. And here he had ALS, and it was progressing to the point where he had had to retire, and he couldn't walk, and he was facing an immediate death from advanced ALS. And the other was someone I'd never heard of, didn't know, whose wife was taught nursing, and whose daughter was a board-certified physician. And his name was Ed Finkelstein. And he couldn't make it up the steps. So I walked down, and we sat on the stoop at 72nd there, Broadway, one afternoon. And he said, Gary, I'm an engineer, and I'm just being very pragmatic. I did all my homework and found out that someone my age, 70, I think it was 74, 76, has a 15% chance of dying on the operating table and another 15% chance of dying within the first 2 weeks post-surgery of undoing a blocked carotid artery, which was 90% blocked. That's the artery that goes into your brain. He says, when I'm looking at 30% chance of dying, I don't like those odds. So I figured I'm going to postpone this a couple weeks to see if you can do anything. But I must tell you, my wife and my daughter don't believe in this. They think it's all nonsense and quackery, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I said, the only thing I ask is that you do this 100%. I only work with people that do things 100%. If you're going to do it 99%, find someone else. No, I'll do it 100%. Okay. And we started that day. Now, his wife and his daughter were in such contempt of me and what we were doing that they wouldn't even come upstairs. Each time he came, we give him like 4 hours of vitamin C drips and all forms of homeopathic zeolites and all types of therapy, magnetic therapy. And they all want to know what we were doing. You know, this all didn't make sense. What are you doing putting magnets on someone's arteries? Well, if there's a result, then you'll know about it. And you can do the same research we did. After about 3 weeks, he began to walk up the steps unaided. Within 3 months, he was in the park, came out, remember his first Sunday, came out in the park. There he was, smiling, beaming, and he made it 2 miles. And then one day, his wife comes. But now when she comes in, she came with him. She had Bell's palsy, and it's viral, and if you've ever seen anyone with Bell's palsy, they had a whole pull-down look to the left side of their face where the jaw comes down, the lip comes down, and they can keep that the rest of their life. And I just asked her, I said, would you like me to help you? She says, nothing can be done to help it. I should know, I teach nursing. I said, well, you've conflated two issues. One is the fact that you teach nursing, you know everything there is to know about medicine, the body. And secondly, you've already acknowledged that you're not going to be helped because the paradigm you're a part of doesn't help people with this condition. But I'm going to ask you again, would you like to at least try something? Now, she didn't agree to it, but he did. And he said, you have nothing to lose. There's no downside. So she did. She came in every day for 6 days and 4 hours a day. So she was there a total of 48 hours, 2 weeks, completely gone. All Bell palsy, gone. Now suddenly that got her attention. Remember, we learn through humility. We never learn through arrogance. We never learn through conceit. We never learn through the dominant ego. And so she said, what now should I do? I said, the same protocol as your husband. And they did. And here's the takeaway message. In 6 months, they were racing every race you could race in New York. I saw them in every race. I was racing everyone. They were. And at the end of the year, the New York Road Running Club voted them both Outstanding Track and Field Athlete of the Year, the USA Track and Field Athlete of the Year, Metropolitan Athletics Athlete of the Year. To become the Athlete of the Year, you have to beat every other person in America in your age group in the distances and the times against national records. And they did it. I filmed them out at their home. They were just beaming with love for each other. You ought to see them. And they were making their juices and then going out for a workout. And I filmed it all. I never used it, but I'm going to put it up on so you can see this. What a story. Well, we 10 years later, he had no reocclusion, and he was even beat. He called me one day and said, you won't believe it, Garrett. I beat the Olympian, Ted Corbett. Really? That's terrific. From near death, a blocked artery, carotid artery, 98%, to becoming the best athlete on the planet in his age group for 10 straight years. He went on to live 90-some years. I don't know what's happened to his wife. His daughter died. She never even said anything about the improvement, but so be. Anyhow, so the amount of Vive Coenzyme Q10 that I was having them take each day was substantial. So you've got to know what you're doing. You can't just self-medicate. You can't just start taking something and assume that, well, you know, I can take whatever I want. If 100 milligrams is good, 1,000 milligrams, great. It's not how it works. That's why I really want you to be in the hands of people who know how to help you. From the University of Sydney, a study on vitamin B3, it reduces the risk of skin cancer. This was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it offers a lot of hope to those who are light-complexioned, like Irish people, for example, and some Scandinavian people. They're very easy marks for being out in the sun too long and getting skin cancer. So take your vitamin B3, and it can help prevent the, in this case, non-melanoma skin cancer. And this was a 12-month study, points to the reduced risk of skin cancer from vitamin B3. And finally, from the RCSI, which is Dublin, Ireland, published in the American Society of Nutrition, there is a research on selenium, You don't need much, 200 micrograms a day, but it reduces the risk of liver cancer. The lower the amount of selenium, the more at risk you are of liver cancer. So get your cancer prevention by having 200 micrograms of selenium a day. I'll do one more. University of Leeds, which is in the United Kingdom, they talk about polyphenols and fiber. Well, you can get both from dried fruit and green tea, and that attenuates blood sugar. And there's been a lot of evidence that polyphenols inhibit starch-digesting enzymes and fiber delays glucose absorption, which lowers the glycemic index of some foods. So this was an important study. So when you're having some dried mulberries, dried apricots, dried plums, dried peaches, dried pears, and green tea, you're helping yourself prevent diabetes. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. We're going to do two things back to back. I'm going to play you a short 3-minute clip from a person who's in a car driving, and he's just, mind you, these are not professional broadcasters. They're just interested human beings who are finally expressing to a public that's not going to attack them for simply saying, I've trusted you, I believed in you, I was loyal to you, but you did nothing to help me or my grouper. And so now people are coming out of the closet by the hundreds of thousands. In fact, just in the last few days, 77,000 people have signed up for the walk away. Now, they're walking away from the liberal community, and I'm saying walk away from the liberal community, not the historical liberal community. Their values within liberalism that transcend politics. They're humanistic. And they're do not walk away from traditional conservative values. My God, what kind of world would we have if we had no morality, if we had no ethics, if we had no deeper beliefs, if we had no sense of community, if we had no respect for human rights? So both the traditional liberal and the traditional conservative have very important qualities. I'm talking about the polemics that have usurped it, captured, adulterated, and putrefied both movements and morphed them into this homogeneous glob of pure self-interest that now is owned by the billionaires. And by the way, everyone should just get a seat and pull it up, because we are irrelevant to the elections. It's a fight amongst the billionaires. And this is all ego. These are not the brightest people either. You talk with these people, and I've talked with a lot of billionaires. I've counseled billionaires. They've learned how to make money. That doesn't mean they've learned how to have a life that's legitimate. So that's what we're asking people to walk away from. Walk away from that which is underlining in corruption. I'll go and grade it. In fact, before I go into, let me, since I'm in this kind of little extemporaneous stream of consciousness, think for a moment. Just pull back from any emotional attachment. For those of you who watch Fox or listen to Rush Limbaugh or Laura Ingraham and some of the other conservative hosts, they have every right to that. I'm not asking you to boycott them. I have no right to say they shouldn't be on the air. I believe in freedom of speech, even for those who I would disagree with. But Fox and the conservative state, literally, they mute on the real nitty-gritty of the deep state. I'll give you an example. How many times have you heard those on Fox claim that, now, the FBI, there's only a few people at the very top who are corrupt, but the rank and file are honest and hardworking and loyal. And no, they're not. The entire system is corrupt and always has been. Our entire national security system is based upon secrecy and manipulation. And these people have overseen lots of domestic terrorism. If you doubt me, just look at the record. I'll just give you a brief overview. Shortly after its founding, the FBI was caught wiretapping the Supreme Court's conference room where judges convened to pass and discuss judgments. And that was in the mid-1930s. Then along comes one of the most demonic personalities in American history, pure evil, Edgar Hoover. He was a professional voyeur. He was a keen blackmailer. And that is a matter of historical fact. I don't care about his cross-dressing. That's irrelevant. That's immaterial to me. Hoover's long relationship and his connection with the American Mafia is a matter of fact. And this is what angered Attorney General Robert Kennedy so much, that Hoover completely ignored organized crime and preferred to chase petty thieves and street punks and not go after the big guys. Well, we know because he was associated with him. He also had a role in the assassination of Martin Luther King. We have brought that to your attention. One of the great legal scholars in America, Pepper, right on this program, repeatedly. And we asked in the press conference we did live on the air, if anyone has any information that contravenes this that's being said today, share it. No one has. And that conference was heard by a lot of people. But Martin Luther King was killed with the full knowledge and cooperation of J. Edgar Hoover. And he even tried, through the FBI and his agents, to get Martin Luther King to commit suicide when they found King. By the way, most people think King was a Democrat. In any case, most people were not aware that King was having affairs. Okay. Unfortunately, many of these people have. Separate out King the messenger for unifying and challenging the labor force, the anti-war movement, and they could tolerate him in the anti-war movement. They could not tolerate him when he went against corporations because of the power he would have had to have emboldened the unions and have helped, especially the African Americans within the unions. That's when he hit that third rail, and that sealed his fate. But up till that point, everywhere he went, the FBI was ahead of him. He had broken no laws. So listen to this. The next time Sean Hannity, other apologists and ass-kissers for, you know, this thing in the White House, and because we're so preoccupied with the politeness of synonyms, I'm not quite sure if the synonym I would use for him would be considered polite. But you have apologists, and it's embarrassing what kind of apologists they are. They're not willing to look at any of the truth. They're so tied in. It's like Gorilla Glue on Sean Hannity's head up against this president's ass. It's really embarrassing that people lack any understanding. But this is the same FBI rank and file that he's giving a free pass. And I'm saying no one in the FBI should be given a free pass. The entire culture of the FBI and the CIA is corrupt and always has been. There's no good German in the FBI. You'll have to understand history to understand what I just referred to. Also, the association of the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover with Joseph the Animal Barboza, a vicious hitman for the mob who continued to be an FBI informant for years, regardless of his brutal murders. He had one of the highest record records of kills of anyone until he himself was killed in the mid-70s. Remember James Whitey Bulger, who had a career in crime? We know of 19 murders to his name, numerous assaults, and he was protected through all that by the FBI. and then 9/11, organizing its own terror plots. Many of the so-called foiled bombing plots by domestic terrorists did not exist. They were created from whole cloth by the FBI by means of entrapment. And then the Human Rights Watch in 2014 accused the FBI of organizing terrorism events as an unprecedented rate. 23 of 27 cases of terrorism, domestic terrorism, were created by the FBI informants. Then they were arrested by the FBI, who took credit for it. Blackmailing with no-fly list threats as a means of turning them into informants. And do we also remember it wasn't just a few people at the top of the FBI, but thousands of FBI agents who infiltrated every environmental group in America, every Occupy Wall Street group had agent provocateurs from the FBI. The Black Panthers, it was estimated at one point up 5% of all the people attending Black Panther meetings were informants for the FBI. So the FBI has infiltrated every group that involved itself in social justice, human rights, civil rights, environmental rights, ecological rights, anti-war rights, including Occupy Wall Street. The FBI has been all over it and considers these people to be domestic terrorists. How about Operation COINTELPRO to eliminate African-American leaders? And that led to FBI execution of Black Panthers Fred Hampton and Mark Cloud in cold blood. And recall 1971, the Black Student Union activists broke into FBI headquarters and released its surveillance files that proved the extent of the FBI's illegal domestic spying operations on all public organizations and groups that challenged the government. In fact, USA Today reported in 2013, and it got its documents through the Freedom of Information Act, showing the FBI gave carte blanche permission of its informants to commit 5,658 crimes in a single year. That was 2011. That's 15 crimes a day the FBI committed. A huge network of confidential informants. By 2017, the FBI had 15,000 informants. 15,000. By then, today it's probably close to 30,000. How many do you want to bet have been instrumental in trying to destroy Pacifica, sit on its local station boards, and facilitated the coup that gave the power to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Being privatized for her own personal use? Where was the left? You want a reason to walk away from the left? There's one, and there's a damn good one, when the entire left abrogates its responsibility to do original investigative reporting. Instead, it allows someone to take a commonly held asset, the people, the listeners, and privatize and profit up to, according to the latest figure I've seen, $77 million. And the virtual purging of every single person who had a progressive background and represented, therefore, a mind that was not willing to be a shill for, make excuses for, or be a part of the liberal mob. So you see, we have problems that have not been addressed. And as a society, the left and the right, the corporate left, the corporate right, they have done everything possible to manipulate everything. There was a study in 2015 that concluded that the United States is directly responsible for killing over 20 million people in 37 nations since World War II. Indirectly, this figure is as high as 30 million. The Korean War and Vietnam War, 15 million deaths. Involvement in the Afghan-Soviet War, 1.8 million. The 2001 Afghan War under Bush, 12,000. Angola, 750,000. Hungary, 1956, where the U.S. incites a revolt in Hungary through Radio Free Europe that launches a doomed armed revolt uprising, 37,000 killed. Laos, 1957 to 70. 20,000 deaths. Haiti in 59, 100,000 killed, and the U.S. supported dictator Duvalier. Those are liberals and conservative presidents' administrations. Dominican Republic in 1965, under President Johnson, there's your good corporate Democrat liberal. Yep, invasion, of Dominican Republic, 3,000 innocent Dominicans killed. CIA Operation Phoenix massacred at least 20,000 in Vietnam and Cambodia. The overthrow of Prince Suharnik and getting Cambodia involved in the Vietnam War became a puppet, CIA puppet of Lon Nol, and then gave rise to the Khmer Rouge, responsible for 2.5 million deaths. Chile in the 1970s, Pinochet's regime, 3,000 murdered. El Salvador, civil war from 81 to 1992, 75,000 killed. Chad in 1982, CIA-supported dictator Habré, 40,000 murdered, 200,000 tortured. Iraq from 1980 to 88, this is before Bush, 260,000 Iranians killed. In Colombia, and since 86, 20,000 Palestinians, 200,000 killed. The Iraq War, about 1.4 million. The lowest figure was in John Hopkins, 654,000, but more realistic figures are over a million and a half. And here's a good corporate liberal, Bill Clinton. Remember, Bill Clinton has never been a very bright man. In fact, I would consider him closer to a good old boy, charming, oozing personality, easy to talk with, not a whole lot of gray matter. But his wife, not smart, but shrewd. And so anything that was Bill Clinton's, it was Hillary who was behind it. The Samoan Civil War, 1990, when they were in power, through 93, 1 million deaths. 350,000 died by starvation. And then Clinton's first term in Iraq, 567,000 children killed. 4,000 under the age of 5 died per month. So for the people who are out there yelling about, you know, children, you bet you should be marching for children. Why were there no liberal Democrats marching against the Clinton program? Could have something to do with what a friend at that time of mine said. We spent a day at this couple's, very powerful, probably the most powerful Democratic couple in America at that time. And I just finished a long tour. And she said, come on out and just spend a day relaxing. And while we were out there talking, I told her about the Clintons. And she said, we know all about the Clintons. This is before they were in the White House, when they were still in Arkansas. And I said, this is really a rotten to the core couple and everyone else around them. I've investigated them in depth. You're not listening to me, Gary. We know all about them. But this dinner that you're having for them, with, she said, yes, and all the top liberal Democrats in New York will be there. And it wouldn't matter what, if you got up before them and said, here's all that I know against them, it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference because these people have business interests, and business interests always exceed ethical issues. Always. You got to learn that. That's how the city operates. And I said, but you're facilitating all this. It's your home, your townhouse over there that you're doing all this. Don't you care what happens when people this corrupt get into positions of power and then they get all the other people who are willing to support their corruption and protect them behind them? She says, it's always worked this way, but these people are very powerful and wealthy and they just want to make sure that their power and wealth remains. So they're always going to back the person. They don't care about their politics. They don't care about their moral life. They don't care about their ethics. They don't care about their education. All they care about is, are you going to look after my business interest? That's what these people are coming for. Anything else is just foolish. She was right. Rwanda, we could have stopped it. 800,000 Tutsis slaughtered, up to about 2 million total. The Bosnian War, 1992 to 95, 100,000 killed, 69% were civilians. Honduras under Hillary Clinton, thousands killed. Libya, tens of thousands killed. Syria, hundreds of thousands killed. Ukraine, at least 10,000 killed. Under Obama, well, just imagine. So these are the legitimate reasons to walk away. I could say the same thing on the other side. Walk away from both. But then what do you walk towards if you're walking away? Don't become apathetic. Don't go from the left into the right. Don't go from the right into the left. Go into the progressive, because at least when you are progressive, you're giving yourself an opportunity to work behind issues that actually are looking for positive solutions, empowering people, whether you're working to inform the public about the truth of safety of vaccines or the dangers of genetically modified and how to lower your carbon footprint by going plant-based and what the price of our environmental carbon footprint is when we're using livestock versus not using livestock. So all of the different movements, with all of the different highly qualified leaders in each of the movements, are on the progressive side of the agenda. They're not on the left, they're not on the right. So what we have done, as of yesterday, we have started a new movement. Hashtag Walk Progressive. And here's what we're doing now. We're loading up on articles, films, so that every day, if you want to see what's going on in the real world, information that has not been censored and filtered through CNN or MSNBC or Rachel Maddow or Amy Goodman, go to prn.fm, because that's where we have a special, you know, you'll see hashtag Walk Progressive, and you can be kept up to date and see everything. The articles, for example, I put up something today, a whole lot of information today on what's happening around the world from a progressive point of view. So at least you'll have understandings. You'll know what to do, to what things you can join and commit yourself to, and independent candidates. You know, we have to go beyond the Green Party. It's had its day, and it's failed. It failed to evolve outside of the very narrow lines. That's why it didn't interest a lot of people. We have an awful lot of highly educated, very aware people who are independent. But they did quietly. They walked away quietly. Now this young man is giving a face to it. So we are helping show all the different things we can do to take back our health, take back our human rights, to take back our environment, to clean it up, clean our air up, our water up, our food up, to help our children, to prevent disease, to live a longer life without engaging in identity politics to do it. Now let's hear from this person. I've never heard of him before. Some of the things he said I would agree with, some I would disagree with. But at least he has the courage to say this. This is about 3 minutes of him saying my walk-away story.
Good morning, Facebook family, YouTube family, Twitter family. This is my walk-away video. I had the honor and the privilege of having Brandon Strock on my show a few weeks ago. I was speaking to him over the weekend. An amazing young man that has launched a movement called Walk Away, hashtag Walk Away. And he'd asked me to do a video, and I've been waiting for the right time to do it and for the time to do it. And the time is now. And if you don't know what that is, the Walk Away movement, just search the hashtag. Look up Brandon Strock, and it's S-T-R-A-K-A. And listen to what he's got to say. But it's a movement that's actually gaining massive momentum as people from all backgrounds, walks, races, and political affiliations are choosing to walk away from everything that is the current Democrat platform and that is the Democrat ideology. So I, David J. Harris Jr., I walk away from the notion that all black folks have to vote Democrat. I walk away from the notion that I have to do what my parents did or what my father did. My dad voted for Obama. Most of the black side of my family voted for Obama and supported him. I walk away from the notion that I have to do what my parents or grandparents did. I walk away from the notion, the idea that I have to follow blindly behind Democrat leaders that have done nothing but sold the black community down the river for votes, that haven't done anything for the black community. I walk away from the idea that the very founding of the Democrat Party was founded in slavery. They founded the Ku Klux Klan. They supported segregation. They fought for Jim Crow laws. And they fight for abortion. I walk away from the notion that somehow in the 60s, all of that just magically transformed and changed, and they became the movement and the party of the civil rights movement. I walk away from that lie. I walk away from the lies that the mainstream media continues to perpetuate against conservatives. I walk away from all the black celebrities and athletes that want to talk trash about our president, that want to support Democrat ideologies and policies that have been detrimental to the black community and to America's community as a whole. I walk away from the notion and the idea that a baby inside the womb is not a human being. I walk away from the idea that it's human tissue that can be done with as a woman pleases. I walk away from that entirely. I walk away from the idea that it's hate that's going to make our country great. I walk away from the idea that it's continued pursuit and perpetuated hate and demonizing anybody that opposes my views and my beliefs. I walk away from the idea that that's ever going to create any kind of unity in our country. I walk away from the ideas of the Democrat Party, of the Democrat plantation, of those of crazy Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. I walk away from the idea that we need to abolish ICE. We need ICE. They protect Americans. I walk away from the idea that it should be illegal immigrants first over American citizens. I walk away from the idea that the Democrat Party established back in the 60s that began to strategically implement social welfare programs and government aid to black mothers as long as there were no fathers in the house. I walk away from the idea that that had anything whatsoever to do with supporting the black community, and I understand and believe it had everything to do with subduing the black community. I walk away from everything that's democratic, that's socialist. I walk away from the idea that socialism is a good idea when it's
now,
never worked.
Again, I will agree with some of what he said. I will disagree with other things. That is not the point. The point is that we are not looking in this world today for someone who is 100% in agreement with all of our ideas. Rather, that someone has finally realized that what they had supported up to this point, after their own catharsis, their own epiphanies, they no longer are willing to see it the same way. They're starting to get a vision that is coming into focus of what they have really been supporting. When you look at the characters of the people in power, that's what you're supporting. There is no party. There's a group of self-serving individuals who've learned how to manipulate the public through slogans, through protests, and through identifying what the enemy should be. As long as we don't question it and go along with it, we're contributing to it. Take an honest, careful look. I'll give you just one example of this. Because I've been a Democrat and a liberal my whole life, but now I'm no longer liberal. I'm a progressive, which means I'm looking for the truth without having to identify it with a party or a group. Just looking for the truth, wherever it is. That simple. And ask yourself this. What would you do if you found out your husband was having an affair? If you're the average person, you would be outraged. You would feel hurt. You'd feel betrayed. You would feel emotionally abused. Because the one thing that solidifies relationships is trust. Knowing that a person is there, you can share any thought. They're not going to hold that thought against you. They're not going to come back later and say, well, you said this on this date, and you shouldn't have. You have to have someone in life that you're going to feel comfortable enough that you can be yourself without having to pretend to be anything other than who you are. But at the same time, you've also agreed to share something in common. And when that person breaks that, you either stay with that person, but almost always it's, don't do this again. You do this again, I'm out of here. Well, Bill Clinton, in Arkansas, before he became governor, had confided in his mistress, who spoke with me on the record, a lawyer very accomplished lawyer down in Texas. And she said that he bragged about having 3,000 sexual conquests before he became attorney general. And then after that, and Hillary was completely aware of this, Bill called his wife the warden, and they did not have a relationship, according to this woman who knew them both for 29 years. But after he was caught with Monica Lewinsky, and he vowed to the world in his most sincere hound dog expression that he would not ever do this again, he understood the consequences of betraying his daughter, betraying his wife, betraying those who trusted him. Because you would reasonably expect that the most powerful person in the world would at least be disciplined at the spiritual level to honor the higher ethics within him, which is what a lot of people expect of the person who's most powerful. We expect you to be as strong a human being and an honest a human being as you can be. I think it's a reasonable expectation. And at the very time he was saying that, he was also having an affair with Walter Mondale's daughter, who's a reporter in Washington, D.C. And it was so bad that the entire the Secret Service knew about this, and she would go in, and one of the Secret Service had the detail of going in and cleaning up after their sex acts with cloths. And even while he was continuing, and he continued nonstop, in fact, one of the most powerful women in corporate America had a long-time affair with him. And she's the kind who's rich enough to drive her own private jet or fly on her own private jet. And so nothing has stopped. Even going to on the Lolita Express with a known pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, to Orgy Island, where the whole purpose of going to Orgy Island was to have orgies. And six times he went without his Secret Service detail. So on the one hand, if you say, yes, you're the kind of woman that we have to show should be in a position of power because of the ideals that you represent. Well, where in the hell are those ideals, and where in the hell is that Me Too protest when it comes to the nine women who claimed that they were raped by Bill Clinton? And how about all the ones that said he abused them, harassed them? And where is the protest? And what kind of wife sticks behind a man who is a serial, I mean, he is right up there even worse than Harvey Epstein. How do you get away with that? How do you justify that? How do you hold any position of power? If you want a woman as a model, there are thousands of outstanding models of women who did something positive for society, didn't have lecherous husbands, weren't maniacal, manipulative, narcissistic, cloying, power hounds. Look at Elizabeth Cochran, C-O-C-H-R-A-N. Now, she was a wonderful human being. She was born back in 1860s in Pennsylvania, and growing up, she just didn't believe that her role was going to be as a homemaker. She believed that there was too many important issues involving women and their rights being denied, and she was going to commit her life to that. So she left at 18, and when she left, she went to New York, and she got a job at a newspaper. She worked at the New York World. And one of her very first assignments was, there's this insane asylum. Go in there. And she did. She got herself committed. She was in there for 10 days. And while in that insane asylum for 10 days, she saw how women were treated. She saw completely normal women who were abused, raped, starved, beaten. Their food was rotted food. All the women had chronic diarrhea and were vomiting because the water was completely polluted. It was cold. There was no therapies, and these women who were normal were there because they were poor and on the street. And the morality police at that time said, well, if you're a woman on the street, something's wrong with you and you ought to be in an insane asylum. She saw women tortured by the so-called elites of the brain, the psychiatrist. After 10 days of she undergoing all this as well, seeing it, she got her lawyer to get her out, or they had a prearrangement after 10 days he would get her out. And then she went public with it. She wrote a book. The book was 10 Days in a Madhouse. And it was from that experience of 10 days that she would go on to be one of the most single important women in history of the United States, of getting laws to protect women, especially those who are being medicalized against their will, put in institutions. And she gave a face and a feeling and a heartbeat to a movement. She died in 1922. She was only 57 years of age. When was the last time you ever heard of her? Oh, I got a lot of women just like her. Were not identical to her, but doing important things where their career was not what was important, but emancipation and liberation of those who had been the victims of social persecution or slavery or bigotry. No. Hillary Clinton's never done anything that represents the emancipation of women. Everything has been a political moment. And yet, look at the people that supported her instead of walking away and looking for the women who would represent the ideal. Just something to think about. I'll have other comments, and I didn't even get to my commentary today, but I'll get to it on our next program. I think you'll find it of interest. So here's the good news to close our show today. Walk away from the corporate Democrat and the corporate Republican machine. Walk away from Fox and walk away from MSNBC. Walk away from those people who purport to care about you but are really careerist, opportunist. And they get paid big bucks to say what they say. And instead, walk towards ideals that are progressive. Become involved in community actions. Become involved in working on issues that we can feel good about, that are helping ourselves and helping others. Things that are meaningful. And this isn't done with anger or hatred or slogans or going over to someone in a restaurant and demanding they leave. I wouldn't do that because I also believe that if we see someone doing something or saying something we believe is wrong, there are venues that we can express that. But we also have to maintain some sense of civility, because when you strip away the idea that we have to be civil, then anywhere, at any time, in any place, you can see someone you could take advantage of, you will. That demeans the spiritual value of all life. And I believe that we can resolve issues more with understanding than just with sheer defiance. Resolving issues means freeing yourself. Freeing yourself, a lot of people have. Now take the step to work together cooperatively. Something to think about. Go to, start checking the hashtag. Hashtag Walk Progressive. And you can also go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and you'll see it there. Have a nice day, everyone.